The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Is Mr. Trump stopping the decline of America? Is he stopping it? Is he stopping it overseas? And is he stopping it at home?
Well, I think people overseas believe he is when he, you look at that stage of all the people who wanted to be included in the Middle East settlement. It was like when he was at Notre Dame Cathedral, he was rushed. Mm. So they feel that there's certain ingredients to national greatness and recovery. It's energy, it's closing the border, it's addressing fertility, it's stopping crime, it's creating a powerful military, recruitment stuff. So there's certain barometers that the world, it's standing up to China and not trying to antagonism, just say, you know, what can't go on with you won't go on. And everybody's looking at this and they said, wow, the United States was always strong. It was in managed decline. And this guy came along and reasserted its innate strength.
In less than 10 months, fewer than 10 months, I think he is stopping the decline and moving us back on the recovery path. He calls it the golden age, and I know the returns aren't all in yet, but when you see stuff, getting the tax cut bill passed and so forth, closing the border, but what he's doing in foreign policy, this was a guy who wasn't supposed to understand foreign policy. He was an isolationist, all completely wrong, completely, utterly wrong. He's thinking outside the box, and he's changing everything in fewer than 10 months, Victor.
And he's causing revolutions in Europe of center-right parties we haven't seen before. So it's the world is reverberating what you're saying. That it's not, we're not propagandists. We're just saying empirically, people feel that the United States is back, it's strong, and they haven't seen that in decades.
The media, for the first time, are now calling out Obama and Biden not achieving what Trump is getting. Joe Biden campaigned on his nearly three dozen years on Senate Foreign Relations. He was Obama's point man.
Trump has experienced political redemption, and now some members of the press are starting to repent.
I didn't think it was going to happen. Bravo to America. Bravo to the Trump administration. Bravo to President Trump.
Even notorious non-believers are experiencing a spiritual awakening.
Credit where credit is due. Donald Trump did something good. It's kind of surprising to see him do something good.
What a day for Donald Trump. You know what? He finally did something positive today, and I want to give him credit for it because I know he's not the type to take credit for himself.
Biden swallowing his pride and saying congrats to Trump. So did Kamala. So did the Clintons. But Obama won't do it. He's realizing slowly he's not the Messiah, and the words just won't come. Biden said, watch me, and we watched him fall asleep. Now we're watching Trump, the man that never sleeps. I'm just tired looking at his schedule. In the last day, the president flew 14 hours to Israel, hugged hostage families, and delivered a speech to their parliament. Then flew to Egypt, met with the president, spoke to the press, signed a peace deal, gave another speech, met with more world leaders, and then flew back home at the crack of dawn. He touched down at 2:30 in the morning. Instead of going to bed, blew up a Coke boat, then welcomed the president of Argentina at 1, and then got invited to go on another trip.
I'm just a little busy. I'd love to go to Argentina. I'd like to be like Biden. I'd like to go to the beach. My body is a little bit larger than his. I'm not sure it would be appreciated on the beach, but I'm not going to take a chance. You won't see me in a bathing suit.
The American resurgence is real. We're away for a few days and the whirlwind of activity surrounding the Trump administration continues. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. As you can see, we're back into the comfortable confines of the studio here in Edmond, Oklahoma, after a bit of a whirlwind of activity for some of us as well. Spent a few days down in Panama got to see or tour the Panama Canal, the museum there, and saw a fascinating IMAX movie on that, and saw some of the cargo ships coming through the locks there in the canal as well. And then we shifted gears a bit and went up to Midway, Utah, as some of you well know, given the show on, I think it was Monday, when we were halfway up into the mountains and suffering from altitude sickness thereafter. But all is good as we're back home now in Edmond, and there's lots to get to on today's show. You can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. So, as I say, the resurgence is real. This is what my father wrote back in November last year. Prophecy, keep our minds on prophecy. Prophecy says that Donald Trump is going to lead a resurgence in America. And it looks like this resurgence could be significant and impressive. Now, we'll take a more realistic view of the situation in Gaza and the pursuit of peace. That's what I talked about on Monday's show in Utah. I'll come to that in just a second. But that said, as you heard in the cold open, I mean, world leaders want to be where Donald Trump is. They want to be in the same room. You saw the reaction when he showed up at the Knesset. Made some big statements. There's a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and the energy that President Trump continues to show. It's pretty incredible for someone that I think is near 80 years of age, the pace that he keeps. This is from America Under Attack, so this would have been a few years ago that my father wrote about this. Of course, you know, if you've watched this show for any length of time, you know that we were telling you, ever since they stole the election in 2020, that Donald Trump was coming back. And we said it at a time when Donald Trump's voice had been silenced. He had no voice. In America Under Attack, it says, during this period of Israel's history, talking about 2 Kings 14, had God not intervened, the devil's plan to blot out the name of Israel would have prevailed. But God granted mercy when Israel really didn't deserve it. Rather than sending Israel into captivity at that time, God used this king to save Israel and give the nation one last period of prosperity before facing a reckoning for the sins it never repented of. I mean, we're still saturated in sin today, and there's little or no repentance. I mean, Jesse there talks about the mainstream media, the regime media, finally giving Donald Trump some credit. You know that's got to be difficult for them to do. But at least it's a step in the right direction. But the attacks continue. The attacks on ICE continue. The crime in our streets, the spread of pornography, the breakdown of the family. When we were in Utah, we toured through the university, or saw the university where Charlie Kirk was murdered. And, you know, you drive through that community, and for the most part, you see what looks like, I mean, Utah is a fairly conservative state, some would say. And the community around UVU, it looks peaceful. It looks like, you know, your typical middle class area in the United States. And yet, the deranged lunatic assassin, he came from the same area. There's evil all around us. And the forces of evil are growing. And God wants us to turn to him in repentance. That's what he's looking for. Now, he's giving us this resurgence, as my father says there. He's giving it to us at one last period of prosperity before facing a reckoning. Are you prepared to face the reckoning? It says further on, Jeroboam reigned for 41 years. He was the longest reigning king in the history of the Northern Kingdom. Further down, it says, America's temporary resurgence gives these three nations and their peoples one last chance to repent. But that window will remain open only for a few short years or less, as I was discussing yesterday at lunch with one of our ministers. He used to write for the Trumpet quite often on the economy and such. And we were talking about the price of gold. It's now over $4,000 an ounce. And the price for silver is over $50 an ounce. And if you own those, I guess that's good news. But this is not good news for the dollar. In fact, as he said, this has been one of the worst years for the dollar value. And this is something that the Trump economists are not really drawing attention to. I mean, they're just talking about the economy as if it's booming. But look at what has happened to the value of the dollar. Look at the cost of living. I mean, yes, the Trump administration did come in and slow down the bitter affliction as far as the economy goes. But you look out at this country and you see young people today, you see young couples today. We come into contact with quite a few of them and you think, wow, it's a lot different than when I was their age. When you didn't need a huge salary to get a starter home and settle down. I mean, the getting a home today, the cost of living. And it's not just like it's on the coasts, you know, in New York and Southern California. It's all across the country. The cost for everything is increasing. And we see gold and silver. It's on a pretty big bull run right now. And why is that? Well, because the dollar's losing value. And there's plenty of smart people who think it doesn't matter. As long as we can keep spending trillions of dollars, as long as we can keep producing big, beautiful bills, we'll be okay. No, the party's going to end at some point. There is a day of reckoning coming. I think that might have been in the title of Joe Scarborough's book from, 25, 30 years ago when he was actually a Republican, a fiscal hawk conservative. He's changed his tune now because, well, he's on the morning meltdown. So just preach what they want you to preach. It used to be he was very concerned about our broken economy. We were witnessing a government and a nation on the verge of collapse, my father says. Then something abruptly changed in a result that shocked the radical leftists and surprised most of the nation. Donald J. Trump won the 2016 presidential election. Almost seems like ancient history. Now he's back for a second term, and I mean, the MAGA movement could not be happier. There's peace in the Middle East. The economy's booming. The border is secure. It's pretty amazing. At the Trumpet, this was earlier this year, peace derangement syndrome. I think this went out. I put this out as a Trumpet brief 1 week, and then it appeared at the website. President Trump was able to make some progress toward peace between India and Pakistan because both sides were willing to take legitimate steps toward peace. Yet Hamas, Qatar, Russia, and Syria are different stories. That's in May. Did we get it wrong? Because, well, now Hamas is, well, they're complying with the terms of the peace agreement, right? Hamas has changed. As I showed you on Monday, I mean, you hear this administration talking about eternal peace. Does Hamas want eternal peace? You better look into the scriptures, Isaiah 59 and verse 8. I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, all those verses in Jeremiah and elsewhere. The ambassadors for peace weeping bitterly. This is what your Bible prophesies. So the big peace deal happens last week and the hostages are released on Monday and everybody's saying how ridiculous that the Nobel Committee didn't give President Trump the peace prize. He's making peace. Well, he is moving. He is. I mean, in one sense, you know, I can't be just too critical here because he is taking action, which is, as has been pointed out by so many talking heads, it's a lot more than what the previous president was doing. You know, the auto pen era. He's taking action, and people are responding. But as I said Monday, it's not going to be good for Israel in the end. And by the looks of it, I mean, Hamas, they don't appear to be disarming. That was part of the agreement, by the way, that Hamas would disarm. Listen to this next montage, clip one.
The only real question is, what do you do about Hamas when they reform with these 1,700 terrorists? And Hamas, as sure as the sun rises, will try to do what it always do, and that is try to destroy Israel and kill Jews.
I'm Gaza. How long will it take Hamas to disarm, and can you guarantee that is going to happen?
Well, they're going to disarm, and because they said they were going to disarm. But we have told them we want disarm, and they will disarm. And if they don't disarm, we will disarm them. And it'll happen quickly and perhaps violently. But they will disarm. Do you understand me?
Mr. Trump is not afraid to use force. He's not afraid to let Israel use force. Is completely different than the Biden-esque appeasement that we saw for so many years, or for that matter, the Obama appeasement that we saw for so many years. And I just have this sense, you know, you look at the two of them, Netanyahu and Trump, at the speech at the Knesset, and it just, you know, the thought occurred to me, I mean, you and I, we've both been around looking at this, reporting on this. Here are the two old warriors. And we need old warriors. We need warriors, in fact. Warriors are the solution, not appeasers. That has to be one of the lessons learned here. Force, warriors, that's the way to preserve freedom and democracy wherever it's in doubt.
Let me give you an early warning. I'm about to show you something terrible. It's vision of the cruel and bloodthirsty murders still happening in Gaza, even though the ceasefire is in place and the war, we hope, is over. You see, Hamas are now back in control of the central areas vacated by the Israeli Defense Forces under the ceasefire. And Hamas, as is their way, as has always been their way, have been executing their rivals or anyone who dares to oppose them. And while we won't show you the actual executions, this is distressing vision. Yeah, how about the crowds gathering to watch? That was Gaza yesterday. This is terrible. It's nothing new, of course. Hamas has operated like this for the two decades that it's run Gaza. And it just shows you why Israel, with America's backing, was right to try to eliminate Hamas after the October the 7th atrocities.
Is this what disarmament looks like? Public executions, now that Israel is gone? You give Hamas even a sliver of legitimacy, and this is what happens. They go right back to murdering the opposition. Okay, so they're not shooting Jews, but they're shooting their opponents in Gaza. But make sure you understand that Israel, the Jews, they're the bad guys. For the Jews to go in there to bring civility to Gaza, law and order to Gaza, that's evil. That, and if one civilian accidentally gets killed because of the counteroffensive, then the Jews must be, I mean, they must be criticized and they must be punished. They pull out and Hamas returns to public executions. And as that reporter brings out, you see the crowds gathering around. I mean, these people, is this what eternal peace looks like? Again, you have to come back to what your Bible says about what's ahead. This is from the Wall Street Journal. A U.S. brokered ceasefire has hit pause on the war between Hamas and Israel, and in its place, a fight between Hamas and other armed Palestinian groups in Gaza Strip is now underway. So, kind of a civil war of sorts in Gaza now that Israel is gone. The carnage, the violence. Do you think any of the bleeding heart liberals are going to care about Hamas killing Palestinians? Of course not. I mean, that's to be expected. But it's the Jews that need to disarm. It's the Jews that need to surrender. It's the Jews that need to pull back. withdraw. As Israeli troops pulled back last week to facilitate a deal that freed the living hostages still held in Gaza, Hamas surged security forces in behind them, a public assertion of authority intended to make clear the group remains the enclave's governing power. Is that written into the so-called peace agreement? That Hamas would maintain its hateful, murderous grip on power in Gaza? Is that what we agreed to? This is just a few days old, the peace agreement, the ceasefire. The hostages return on Monday, and judging by the media coverage, you would have thought it was the greatest day in the history of civilization. Well, President Trump has used terms similar to that. Those forces immediately began cracking down on rival militias controlled by prominent Palestinian families, engaging in firefights and conducting public executions that have spread fear and raised concerns that a spiral of internecine violence could bring new pain to a long-suffering population. So more of the same. We gave Hamas 1 ounce of legitimacy, and this is what they do with it. They start murdering. But don't worry, they're just murdering other Arabs, so that's not a big deal. What you need to focus on is hating Jews, even if you don't know why, as my father wrote in the Key of David booklet. Even if you don't know why you hate them, just hate them. That spirit comes from Satan the devil, as we know. This article says clashes around a hospital in Gaza City on Sunday left dozens dead, according to the Hamas unit that conducted the raid and members of the family it was fighting. Videos that emerged Monday, verified by Storyful, which, like the Wall Street Journal, is owned by News Corp, show Hamas fighters dragging a number of men from the family into a public square in broad daylight, forcing them to kneel and executing them in front of a crowd of onlookers. More of the same. I mean, these people are behaving like vicious animals, predators. The Bible even talks about them having the minds of beasts. I've mentioned Ezekiel 36 and the need for a change in the human heart. That is coming. That is coming. It's not going to happen as quickly or as miraculously as when God changes the nature of vicious animals. You can read about that in Isaiah 11. But what follows that in the wonderful world of tomorrow is the change in the vicious animal-like nature of human beings. Now, that's a longer process because God made us to be free moral agents, and we have to choose this. And you can see why the process of re-educating the world is so important. You can see why God is training and teaching members of his family to teach others so that we can give them the truth of God and show them there's another way, that there actually is a way to peace. But in today's world, man doesn't know that way. We just know the way of war and crime and violence and fighting and division and strife. Don't drift into a state of false security. Don't become complacent because of a few positive things to report. We'll try to present the balance. There are positive things happening. God intervened to save America by the hand of Jeroboam. That's a tremendous miracle. I mean, the man was nearly assassinated. I couldn't believe how, just in looking at UVU, just how compact everything was from where Charlie Kirk was speaking and where the shooter was up on top of that building. I mean, I've been hunting. You know how powerful rifles, I use a crossbow, but it's got a scope and it's very accurate. But a high-powered rifle with the scope, it was an easy target. And stunning, by the way, that nobody noticed. He was walking around up there on the roof or crawling. A couple people actually did see him and I guess didn't do very much. But the security lapse, just a shame. The guy, I believe Crooks, was even closer to Trump. But he missed him because of a head tilt. Well, he didn't miss him entirely. He clipped his ear. He nearly shot him in the head. But God intervened and saved Donald Trump. He did. He did. A spectacular miracle. I mean, it's unforgettable. July 13, last summer. And then you tend to forget the second attempt at the golf course. There's a lot of people that want to murder Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that want to murder ICE agents. You know, law enforcement officials. Policemen up in Boston, Massachusetts, they're coming under fire. What is going on? Where is this headed? No amount of good news can just erase the reality of the world we're living in. But there is good news coming. And we just envisioned it over the last 8 days with the Feast of Tabernacles, which pictures the wonderful world tomorrow and what it will be like. That booklet was up here at some point. It's probably buried. I think I've got 84 booklets on the table right here. We give away a lot of free literature. There's no cost, no obligation. Just call our operators. If you'd like a free copy of The Wonderful World Tomorrow, there it is. You see it on the screen. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. What a vision. What a picture. And then the scriptures and Revelation and elsewhere about Jesus Christ returning as King of Kings. Read Revelation 19. And then go and read Revelation 5 and verse 10 and Revelation 1 and verse 6. And all the kings and priests that are going to assist Jesus Christ. New government is coming. Perfect government is coming. World government is coming. And so is peace. And so is prosperity. But in the world today, I mean, the best we can do is, well, try to sit down with the terrorist in suits. Try to give Hamas some, even an ounce of legitimacy. That would be good. We can talk some sense into them. They gain the legitimacy. Yes, they release the prisoners, the hostages. And then the very same day, they're murdering one another. What a world. Listen to Melanie Phillips on one of the shows, clip 22.
One of the things that's been glossed over throughout this past terrible 2 years, not least glossed over by Israel itself, I think wrongly so, is the fact that the people who are at war, exterminatory war against Israel, are the Palestinians, the Palestinian leadership, the Palestinian Authority led by Mahmoud Abbas. Now, everyone knows about Hamas, but, you know, the war against Israel is not prosecuted by Hamas alone. Hamas is the most extreme wing because it does not put on a suit and tie, and it does not pretend to be involved in the diplomatic game. It makes no bones about the fact that it's out to murder Jews, slaughter Israelis, and destroy Israel completely through military means. And the PA, the Palestinian Authority, led by Abbas, pretends otherwise. Yeah. But the fact is, it is one agenda, and that agenda is still very much on. But it's a sort of an obsession of the Western liberal universalist elite represented by Starmer that a Palestine state is the only way to solve the Arab-Israel war. Yeah. And this is based on a fundamental misconception. The misconception is the idea that this patch of land is being fought over by two peoples with a right to the land. It's not so. The only people with a legal, historical, and moral right to the land are the Jews. And the Palestinian cause for the past 100 years has been involved absolutely in trying to destroy the Jews' own claim to the land. So it's an exterminatory agenda. You don't solve a problem, which is basically a war of extermination, by compromising with the exterminators.
But also the...
A war of extermination. That's a good way to put it. They came across on October 7. They exterminated Jews, 1,200. If they had a couple of nukes, they would have exterminated millions if they could. And then they go back to murdering. The day the eternal peace is supposed to start. So much for disarmament. Melanie Phillips, by the way, she'll be in the States later this month. And then I think again in December, we're talking with her representatives to see if we can connect again. She's been so generous with us over the past year, especially with some long interviews. She's invited us into her home in Jerusalem. We've had a wonderful sit-down interview. So hopefully there will be some more of that in the weeks ahead. We've also been in some discussions with Lee Smith, the conservative commentator, and then Gadi Taub. We introduced you to him. So many of you didn't know him, but he's a popular Israeli podcaster. He's got a podcast in Hebrew and also in English, and he's going to be in the States, I think, next year in February or March. So, and we've got the planned project with Dinesh D'Souza in the works as well. So an exciting year ahead, or by year I mean between what we celebrate as the Feast of Tabernacles, and then of course you move through the winter into the Passover season in the spring. But between now and Passover, there's some exciting events lined up, and so of course we'll keep you posted on that with this show. My father wrote an article, this is over 10 years ago, The World Descending into Chaos. And he says here, most people are too glutted on selfishness to even notice the dire situation we are in now and how it mirrors the prelude to World War I and World War II. It says, but even those who do see the danger, who are racing around the world trying to create peace, who among them talks about God. This article could be printed today and be just as applicable. People running around the world trying to make peace, talking about eternal peace, and yet no one's talking about God. What does God think? What is God's assessment? Even the ambassadors of peace are just trying to use human reasoning and pressure to stabilize things so everyone can get back to luxuriating inside their sealed houses. Just get back to materialism, prosperity, a booming stock market. The ambassadors of peace. Now, think about this. I mean, you've heard some of the commentary over the last week, trying to use human reasoning and pressure. And this is what the Trump administration has been doing, and he's received so much praise for it. He can apply the pressure like Otto Penn couldn't, like Obama never did. People react and respond, and I mean, it's true. It is true. Hamas even did, to a point. And then we find out very quickly that it's more of the same. When it comes to this world and the way of this world, it's just a lot more of the same. Where is God in this world crisis? Where is His will, His wisdom, His input, His reason? That's what we need to be looking for. That's what we need. That's what some of us heard over the last 8 days. How desperately we need and how desperately the world needs God's reasoning, God's wisdom, God's will. It's God's family. You can read this in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. I touched on it Monday. But it's God's family government that brings peace to this earth. We've played on the last three shows segments from the United States and Britain in prophecy. And I know we broke that down even further a few weeks back. And we'll give you more information on the entirety of the program, as some of you have asked about. But I believe we've got about 20 minutes left, which is perfect. That's about what we have time for on today's show. So we'll take a quick break and then finish off today's program with what remains of the United States and Britain in prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today.
The story of Britain's and America's rise to greatness points right back to God and the promises He made to the great patriarch Abraham. But now, 2 centuries after those tremendous birthright blessings were given to these descendants of Abraham, something has gone very wrong. Britain's empire is now a commonwealth. Its navy is small. Its economy is in trouble. Its debts are crushing. Its people are adrift. And it is facing a crisis in terrorism, in its place in Europe, and in its own existence as a united kingdom. America has amassed a debt even more enormous than its enormous economy. Its people are divided. Its massive military is no longer winning wars. Americans are openly acknowledging that America is no longer great, openly admitting that it might collapse. Many Americans want their country to become great again. Many Britons want their company of nations to become great again. But to become great, you have to understand where greatness comes from and where weakness comes from. Bible history and world history show exactly where America and Britain's greatness came from. It came as an undeserved gift. It came from God. In fact, it came as an undeserved blessing promised to a man who lived 4,000 years ago. Why did God bless this man? Why did God promise national greatness to his descendants? Because he obeyed. Yes, national greatness is connected to spiritual obedience. Safety, wealth, power, national security. These are blessings granted by God. For many generations, Abraham's ancient descendants did not receive these blessings. Why? Because they disobeyed. They disobeyed God's laws on observances, on morals, on every aspect of life. They disobeyed God's laws on keeping the Sabbath day. As a result, they forgot their own identity, and God withheld those blessings. But God did keep his promise to bless Abraham's descendants. Thousands of years later, they still existed. They did not even know who they were, and they had not earned these blessings, but God kept his promise and freely gave those blessings of national greatness all at once. Those blessings of national greatness have now been given. Those promises have now been kept, and now God is no longer obligated to bless the descendants of Abraham. He already did that. Now the blessings, the greatness, or lack thereof, depend on our obedience. We have sensed that something has gone wrong. We know that America is no longer great, that Britain is no longer great. Whether we realize it or not, what we are experiencing is the removal of the same blessings God gave us in the first place. 3,400 years ago, God made this very clear with our ancestors, the nation of Israel. He told them, as a nation, that if they obeyed, they would receive blessings. And he told them that if they disobeyed, they would receive curses. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. Look around you. Does it seem like Britain and America are losing their greatness? Does it seem like the pride of our power is broken? Does it seem like our great strength is spent in vain? Does it seem like our nations are being plagued? Does it seem like we are being cursed? We must come to recognize what is happening for what it really is. What we see in the news in Britain and America are curses. And the Bible makes plain the reason why. We are being cursed because of what we are doing. That is the cause of the crisis. America and Britain are in a life and death crisis. Not because they haven't maneuvered their militaries well enough, not because they haven't signed good trade deals, not because of poor diplomacy, not because of a failure to conduct enough scientific research, or to pass enough laws, or to spend enough money. America and Britain are facing a disaster because we are choosing to live a way of life that causes disaster. We are sinning. We are breaking the commandments of God who gave us our blessings, and we are experiencing the results of that. And on top of that, we are being cursed. If we become a selfish, evil, violent, perverted people, God actually does us and the whole world an injustice if He continues to bless us. For our own ultimate good, we all have to see that committing evil brings punishment. The Bible does show the cause of the crisis in Britain and America. The cause of the crisis is us. In the Bible, God makes amazingly specific promises of national greatness to the descendants of Abraham. He kept those promises. The modern descendants of Abraham, the British and the Americans, received those blessings. It's a fact of history. Those promises were prophecies, forecasts of the future. And if those prophecies are true, could the other prophecies of the Bible be true? Could the prophecies of punishment be true? The Bible is full of prophecies, and almost all of those prophecies are about the descendants of Abraham. God promised to shower blessings on the modern descendants of Abraham, but He also promised to send curses on those descendants if they forsook God. Britain and America have clearly forsaken God. One of America's greatest presidents was able to recognize this fact. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We have forgotten God, and the curses are just as automatic as the blessings. In the Bible, the term "in that day" refers to the modern time period. Notice a prophecy in the book of Micah and what it says about what will happen in that day. "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Eternal, that I will cut off your war horses out of the midst of you, and I will destroy your chariots, and I will cut off the cities of your land, and throw down all your strongholds." God gave these nations power, and now He is taking away that power. Why? Because we took the blessings and then turned our backs to the God who gave them. National sin is the cause. National destruction is the effect. How bad will this crisis get? How far will America and Britain fall? The Bible says these nations, these descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, will collapse. What a fall! The greatest nation in the world, the greatest company of nations in the world, America and Britain, fallen. Bible prophecies don't just say that our sin-sick nations will collapse. It says they will be destroyed. Millions of people will die in riots, in race wars, from invasion, from weapons of mass destruction. Yes, it can happen. The Bible even specifies which powers will rise up to strike down America and try to take its place as the world leader. The Bible says it will be Assyria, the same empire that destroyed Israel anciently. The modern Assyrians are known as Germany. The Bible says that Germany will unite 10 nations and resurrect Europe's Holy Roman Empire. It will unite with the power of the Vatican to create a new European superpower. The Bible says God will allow it, God will use it to punish America and Britain for their sins. Can you imagine America and Britain imploding? Can you imagine another superpower rising up and invading our ruined countries? Well, it is getting easier to imagine every week. Our nations are terminal. They seem to have a death wish. Yet the one thing they will not try, the one thing they will not do, is admit that they are wrong. They will not admit that their own sins are causing their own destruction. But if you are brave enough to face the Bible and to face history, you must admit this is the real cause of our crisis. And what will happen if America and Britain fall? What will happen if a European superpower tries to take its place? The world will erupt in World War III. Nuclear, electronic, biological, chemical weapons of mass destruction unleashed. Does that sound impossible? The same Bible that forecasted the British Empire and the American superpower 4,000 years ago says that is exactly what is about to happen. A global conflict even worse than World War. In fact, Jesus Christ himself prophesied this. Jesus Christ himself said that unless it was shortened, it would extinguish all life. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. The fall of America and Britain will be a disaster for the Americans and the British, but also for the whole world. Millions, even billions, will die. The world will explode in violence. It will be a global holocaust, the final result of wicked human nature, the logical end stage of the evil human condition. This is a warning. This is an alarm. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? God warns us through prophecy that our sins are fast increasing, and now the day of reckoning is here. In this fearful, awesome atomic age, World War III will start with nuclear devastation unleashed on London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, all without warning. We are God's chosen people, Israel. Think what that means. Chosen not for favors while we defy our God, but chosen for service we have failed to perform. We should shout for joy at the discovery of our true identity, and we should be brought to repent and to turn to God. The sevenfold intensity of punishment now soon to come upon America and Britain is simply the prophesied Great Tribulation. It will be the most frightfully intense punishment and time of trouble ever suffered by any people. Yet you need not suffer it. You, individually, can choose to be corrected, to voluntarily submit to God before God lets this horrendous chastising strike. If you come to real repentance, realizing how terribly wrong you have been, if you can see yourself as you really are, as a rebellious, wrong, evil person, and if you can surrender to the loving, all-merciful, yet all-powerful God and make an unconditional surrender to Him through Jesus Christ. If you will do that, God promises that you will be protected from this time of great suffering. This terrible suffering is for a purpose. It will prove what depths of wickedness human beings are capable of. It will prove that we cannot live when we do things our own way. It will prove that we need God. The fact that God gave national blessings shows that the God of the Bible is the God of love. The fact that He gave a spiritual blessing, a Savior, in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, shows He is a God of love. And yes, the fact that God punishes America and Britain and all human nations shows that He is a God of love. Punishment is correction. It means that God is teaching human beings. It means that for all our ingratitude, for all our forgetfulness, and for all our sin, God has not given up on us. That same Bible, that same God that prophesied America and Britain and the throne of David and the sea gates and national power and everything else, that same Bible shows that even those who die when Britain and America fall, even those who die when World War III rips Europe and Asia and the world apart, even they will live again and have an opportunity to experience a world reborn and ruled by the great God. There is hope. There is no hope in our own superiority, our own wisdom, our own virtue. There is no hope in our economies, our governments, our militaries, our ideologies. But there is hope. There is hope in believing the God of the Bible. There is hope in repenting. There is hope in turning to God. The modern world is facing a terrifying crisis. It is time for you to choose where to place your hope. There is one book that made promises and kept promises over the course of thousands of years. There is one book that explains the world you see around you in far greater accuracy and detail than you imagine. Read that book. Decide whether you will prove it and whether you will believe it. The decision is now yours. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Bible prophecy might be ignored by the modern Americans and British, but it does not ignore them. Thousands of years in advance, it prophesied their existence, their rise, and their fall. But only God could explain the meaning of the prophecies He inspired, and He would do it only in His time. But in the 20th century, His time came. God revealed the meaning of long misunderstood scriptures. He did it through one man, Herbert W. Armstrong, who published the biblical truth about the Americans and the British in a book requested by more than 6 million people.
The United States and Britain in prophecy.
You can read it and compare it to your Bible. Request your own copy of The United States and Britain in Prophecy by Herbert W. Armstrong.